Yes, yes, I'm almost home. I had to stop at the grocery store and get just three things, but of course, right as I was checking out, there was an old man coming up on his scooter, had an all basket full of stuff, and he just, of course, whips right in front of me and just takes his time, and I'm back there, let's go, let's go, let's go, and he slowly puts everything up and then finally gets everything done, and then he says, and they told him the total, and he looks, and he's like 20 cents short, and he looks back at me like, I'm gonna help him. I'm like, all I have is my Aldi quarter. Do you think I'm giving that up? No. So then I was like, oh, so he had to figure out how to pay a different way. And anyways, all that to say, I'm on my way, but I had to just, it was in a hurry. So I'll be home shortly. Bye. In this text, we find Jesus with his disciples on his last night. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He also knew that he had come from God and he would soon return to God. Between his time with God and returning to God, Jesus lived his earthly life, 3 years of ministry, and had a group of followers that he had come to love. And in verse 2, it says that he loved them till the end. The Greek word for end there is telos, which can mean also mean fulfillment or completely. So we can think of Jesus' love for his disciples in two ways, that he loved them till the end, until his death on the cross, and he loved them completely to the fullest extent. Sometimes we say, I love you this much. God, Jesus, we can't even see the other ends of the hands. They love us that much. Many of us are familiar with the term agape love, which is a selfless, unconditional love, a love that we often attribute to God as the way God loves God's people. In verse 2, when it says that Jesus loved them, this is agapao, the verb of agape, meaning that Jesus was actively loving people selflessly and unconditionally. This love is not predicated on emotion, but rather an action initiated by conscious choice to seek to do what is best for the person you are loving. A conscious choice that seeks to do what is best for the other. And we see this love as the story unfolds. Jesus gets a basin of water and a towel and proceeds to wash the disciples' feet. As Deb said, it was customary to wash feet as they're walking dirty, dusty roads with sandals. And in most homes, you would have been provided with a basin that you could either wash your own feet, or in those homes where there were servants, a servant might wash your feet. What was unheard of, though, was a teacher or a rabbi washing the students' feet. Yet that is exactly what Jesus did. It was a humble demonstration and an act of love for the disciples. Jesus made his rounds to all the disciples, and he got to Peter, and Peter kind of questioned Jesus' actions, indicating that he didn't want his feet washed. Peter seemed uncomfortable at first with the idea of washing his feet, likely not realizing that he was resisting God's love. In Jesus' act of humbling himself and serving the disciples by washing their feet, he was loving them. The disciples also had to humble themselves to receive that love from the teacher who was washing their feet. And we know that being loved sometimes isn't always easy. Then Jesus told Peter that unless I wash your feet, you cannot be with me. So quickly, Peter changes his tune. He's like, okay, hands, feet, everything, wash me all, wash all of me. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you have been washed. You have received your baptism. And another baptism or bath is not necessary. Washing your feet is enough. Peter then allows himself to be loved by God, by Jesus. And Jesus says to his disciples, I have done this as an example, and now you must go and do the same for one another. You, as the students, are not better than the teacher. You too can humble yourselves and serve and love others. Jesus ends by saying, "It is great that you know that I did this, and that knowing that is important. But the really important thing and where the blessings will come is if you actively go and love others and do the same." In the Mennonite church, foot washing is one of our 24 statements of faith that are named in the Confession of Faith, signifying its importance in our faith tradition. And here at Zion, we have periodically incorporated foot washing or hand washing into our worship services. For some, participating in the act of foot washing, mimicking Jesus' actions, is a way for them to understand they're obeying this command to go and do the same. For others, they see foot washing as an example of how one can actively love another and use that as an inspiration to go and actively love others in various ways. I think for me, after spending significant time with this text this week, I see Jesus' act of washing the disciples' feet as an opportunity for Jesus to show love and for the disciples to receive Christ's love. And also, it was a source of nourishment then to go and do and love others. Jesus was the source of this love. Unlike wearing a shirt, this shirt does not make me kind or loving. Jesus is that source. And the disciples received that love from Jesus to then go forth and do the same. We know that Jesus left his earthly life, and yet the Holy Spirit remains. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is the place where we also can go to be refreshed and refueled in our love. We are called to love others and to do so unconditionally and with the best interest of the others as our goal. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that's not something I can do on my own. Just ask my family. I have to go back to the source of this love time and time again to become refilled, refreshed, to receive Christ's love, even in the midst of my failures and shortcomings. As we think about this love that we are called to show to others, we might wonder what that looks like. We might think about all the people that we feel who maybe are what we think are impossible to love, or those we've deemed unworthy of this love. We might not admit that we deem someone unworthy. We may also tell ourselves that, well, I don't hate that person, so that's good enough. If we think hate's the opposite of love, we should be safe. If we're not hating them, we're loving them. I've heard that it's said that the opposite of love is not hate, but rather indifference. And the Cambridge Dictionary defines indifference as the quality of not caring about or being interested in something or someone. So it seems like the distance between love and indifference, pretty short. I imagine we can find ourselves at indifference sooner than we realize. So how do we keep from becoming indifferent about people? Then I wondered, what or who am I indifferent about in my life? Then my mind started spiraling. As a Christians, we say the greatest commandment is to love God and love others as ourselves. Does this mean that I'm indifferent about, that I can't be indifferent about anyone? What if I walk past the homeless person on the corner and I don't give them money? Does that mean I don't love them or that I'm indifferent? Can I really love someone if I just walk past them? would it be impossible to, it seems impossible to actually love someone who I don't know. Is it impossible to actually actively love everyone that we meet? Do we just do our best and say that we loved as many people as possible and not worry about the rest? If I share a post on Facebook about the increased threat of ICE in our community as a way of expressing my frustration with my neighbors and friends who are living in fear, but I don't actively do something to change the situation, does that mean I don't love my neighbors? What if by loving one person, another person is chastised? Have I failed to love correctly? Maybe I'll just put it on a sweatshirt and hope for the best. As those many questions swirled through my mind, I imagined Jesus might chuckle and whisper in my ear, "Dear child, you're missing the point. There isn't a checklist to follow or a formula on how to love." When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he didn't say, "Okay, now make sure you use the blue basin with the white edging and fill it with 33 ounces of water that is between 75 and 87 degrees, and be sure to use only the feet towels because it would be gross to use the hand towels, and wash the left foot first and then the right, and wash from front to back and then dry from back to front." You get the idea. At that point, we've forgotten what's actually happening. Jesus, the Son of God, knelt before his disciples, washed their dirty feet, because even though he is Lord of all and King of kings, he loved them so much that he was willing to wash their feet. And after having received that love from him, he told them to go and do the same. What a marvelous gift. So yes, I think we should think about who in our lives we can love more deeply, more intentionally, and more Christ-like. Are there people that maybe we have become indifferent with because maybe we don't see eye to eye on politics, theology, parenting, music, or the best ice cream flavor? We other people and think that if we can't persuade them to see things how we see them, we might write them off as not worth our time or our love. And the scary part is all of this can happen without us even recognizing that we're doing that, because we're human and we've been shaped by our culture and world around us. That doesn't make it okay, but we need to be aware of our tendencies. So when we look back at the story, we are told that Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, including Judas, who Jesus knew was going to hand him over to the Jewish authorities. Jesus knelt before Judas, washed his feet, knowing what was to come. Jesus did not withhold his love from Judas. He told Judas, just like the others, to go and do the same, knowing full well he wouldn't, and yet he still loved him. I believe that Jesus modeled for us that everyone is worthy of God's love. I want to be clear. I don't believe that Jesus is asking anyone to go and put yourself in harm's way in an effort to love others. So if you have been harmed by someone and it's not a safe place for you, let someone else love that person. Christ and the Holy Spirit still today want to wash our feet. They want us to be cleansed and renewed by coming before them to receive their love. Because without their love, the love of Christ, indifference will prevail. Continuing to go back to Christ to receive love is not a sign of weakness or failure, but rather a commitment to Jesus, to our relationship with him, and our desire to actively love others. I came across a column in Anabaptist World from last May that was titled, "What Happens When Love Runs Out?" This was written by Joanne Gallardo, and she's one of the conference ministers in, I think, the Indiana-Michigan Conference. She says this, "We can beat ourselves up when we struggle to love people who are difficult or impossible to love, thinking we can rise above it. Rising above happens sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. It's easy to think we failed when our brand of love seems not to solve, cure, or help enough. What would happen if when we reach our limit, we left people to the love of God, a God whose love has no limit? What would happen if we reach our limit? Sometimes all we can do is hold on to the assurance that God loves us. When we reach our limit, when we need to pause, when we're trying and failing to move mountains with our love, God's love still stands. Because God's love is beyond reason and comprehension. When we're loving someone or ourselves through the toughest of times, we can rest knowing that God's love is complete. We are called to the vocation of love. And yes, there's grace for being human. I appreciate Joanne's words in that she doesn't say, well, we can just give up loving if it gets to be too much. And yet, if we've reached the end of our love rope at a particular time, God's love has no limit. In a world that feels like there's an overwhelming amount of hate, my prayer is that we don't become content with indifference. May we be drawn to Christ to be washed, refreshed, and refueled. With humility in our hearts and in our posture, may we let the Holy Spirit guide us as we actively love those around us with intention and purpose, believing that just like Judas, Peter, you, and me, all people are worthy of being loved. Amen.